Plans are underway across the UK to mark the 80th anniversary of D-Day. 6th of June 1944 saw American, British and Canadian troops land on the beaches of Normandy. The Germans were unprepared and it proved to be a turning point in World War II. I've been speaking to David Beaumont, who is a host tour guide at the Poppy Factory in Richmond, to hear how D-Day is being commemorated there. Firstly, I think we should probably explain, perhaps for people who are unaware exactly what D-Day is. Could you briefly explain what D-Day was, please?
So D-Day took place in June 1944, and its 80th anniversary is coming up. And it was basically tens of thousands of soldiers, vehicles, aircraft that landed on four beaches in France, in Normandy, and started the turning the tide of the war such that Allied troops could start marching through France and into Germany and eventually into Berlin and to defeat the Germans in May 1945.
It was a big turning point, wasn't it, in the war?
Yes. So Britain found itself, after Dunkirk, the evacuation of British soldiers in 1941, was it? Britain found itself pretty much alone, and then the Americans, after the happenings in Pearl Harbor, after Japan invaded Pearl Harbor in Hawaii, joined the war, and together we invaded the beaches in Normandy, and over the next year or so managed to get our way through France, Belgium, Holland, and into Germany and defeat the Germans.
80's a big anniversary. How many of the people who were involved in it? Do we know how many are still here with us?
I don't know the answer to that question, but we did have a gentleman in the Poppy Factory the other day who is 101 years old and who came to visit us. I wasn't there. One of my fellow guides was guiding that day, and he talked about his experiences on that day, and we videoed him, and we're going to show the video of him discussing. He was 18 that day when he landed on the beaches in Normandy. He's now 101, as I say, and he came to the Poppy Factory and told us about his experiences of landing on the beaches that day. We've got a five-minute video which we'll show to visitors.
What will you be doing to mark the 80th anniversary?
So that was quite a tricky one, because linking the Poppy to D-Day wasn't easy. And I had to put in a lot of thought. But one of the things I talk about at the Poppy Factory is the royal wreaths we make and the special wreaths we make. And one of the very special wreaths we make is the one that surrounds the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at Westminster Abbey. And we replace it every 6 months or so. And when that body was entombed, I tell the story of the Unknown Soldier. It's a place where people can go to a grave when they don't have a grave of their loved one to go to, because they're at the bottom of an ocean or they're buried in a field somewhere unknown. The idea is they can go to that grave and pay their respects to that soldier. We don't know anything about the soldier. It might be their brother, their father, their uncle, their son, whoever, in the slightest chance it is them, and they can pay their respects to that grave, and that's why that was put there. And when it was put there on the 11th of November 1921, there were 150 women who had lost all their menfolk in the First World War. And there were also 100 recipients of the Victoria Cross. So the bravest of the brave soldiers of the First World War were there to pay their respects to that unknown soldier.
It's so humbling, isn't it?
It's very humbling. It was the idea of a priest in 1915 when he sat in a field and he just saw a cross which says an unknown British soldier on it. And we have that cross in the Poppy Factory. And it's a great story. It's a very moving story. And I just think the fact that there were 100 Victoria Cross recipients there paying their respects showed such respect for that soldier. So I thought I'd have a look and see how many soldiers, sailors and airmen, got a Victoria Cross on D-Day, because there's the connection with the Poppy. And the answer is one. Bearing in mind the size of the operation, hundreds of thousands of men working to get on those beaches and tens of thousands losing their lives on that day, only one got a Victoria Cross that day. And what I've done to show to people, that's a Victoria Cross.
Wow.
It's a proper Victoria Cross. That's what it looks like. And I bought it from the jewellers in St. James. You can buy them. It doesn't have a name on it. People to actually have a touchy-feely moment with a Victoria Cross. So I shall hand it round all the visitors. And then I will tell the story of Stan Hollis, who is the only man to receive a Victoria Cross on D-Day. And what he did was quite extraordinary to earn that medal.
Why do you think there were so few who earned the medal from D-Day?
I've no idea. I just saw, when I looked it up, I thought, gosh, there must be dozens of stories connected with such a big operation, the biggest landing operation of all time anywhere in any war. You would have thought there'd be dozens of Victoria Crosses and the opportunity for me to tell dozens of stories, but there's just the one. And so I'm just going to add to the story of the poppy, which I'm going to talk about anyway, the usual history of the poppy. I'm going to add the story of Stan Hollis and what he did to earn his Victoria Cross. It's quite an amazing story.
And what do we know about Stan Hollis?
We know that he was a poor man from Middlesbrough. He was, I think he was 18 on the day of D-Day. And do you want me to tell you the story a bit?
Or? Yes, please.
So he, his duty, if you like, he was in charge of a few men, three machine gun men and three mortar teams. And their job was to get to a German heavy naval artillery at a place called Mount Fleury. And their first objective was to get past this house that had a U-shaped drive. And they were approaching the house and they didn't see, but in the back of the drive, there was a pillbox and they started to be shot at from the pillbox. And Stan ran to the pillbox with his Bren gun in full sight of the Germans, was not shot, put his Bren gun inside the slit of the pillbox and unloaded the entire cartridge. And then climbed on top of the pillbox and threw a grenade inside. He then got into the pillbox and captured the surviving German soldiers that were in there. Then they came under fire from a second pillbox, which was further back behind this house. And they crawled towards his pillbox through a rhubarb patch. And started to fire at the machine gun that was firing at them. They couldn't fire, they couldn't capture it. They tried to bazooka it. They couldn't do that. Two of his men got pinned down and couldn't move because of this machine gun. He shouted at them to retreat, but they either were too afraid or didn't hear him. So he just stood up and ran towards this machine gun with his Bren gun at his hip, firing away, and captured. They fired at him, but luckily for him, they fired over his head. And then he proceeded to capture all 30 German soldiers who were firing these machine guns and saving the lives of his trapped fellow soldiers.
Wow, that's a story. If there's ever a reason to get a Victoria Cross, that's it.
Yeah, so when I read his story, I thought, wow. And then he came back to Middlesbrough and he worked in a shipyard sanding down metal. And then he took over a pub in Middlesbrough and he was a Green Howard and the pub's name was changed to the Green Howard. And then he went into an old people's home and died in the 70s. So he just came back after that incredibly brave moment of his life with a Victoria Cross and just landed up serving beer to normal mortals in Middlesbrough.
For all of the men who went to war and also for the women who are here after war, people were just expected to go back to normal when they've done these amazing things.
He's the only VC of D-Day, so that's my connection to the Poppy Factory and D-Day and to Stan Hollis.
Can we explain why we wear the poppy and what the significance is of the poppy?
There was a Canadian medic, his name was John McCrae, and he was working behind the lines at Ypres, saving wounded soldiers, gassed soldiers' lives together with his huge medical team. And one day he actually got a bit of time off, and he was walking through a field a few meters away from his best mate, and his best mate was called Alexis Helmer. And without putting too fine a point on it, Alexis Helmer unfortunately was hit by a shell and was blown to bits. And the regimental clergy was away on leave, so it was up to McRae, sadly, to pick up literally his friend's pieces, put them in a box, and bury him. And he buried him in the local cemetery and spoke at his funeral. Obviously, to bury him, they had to dig a hole to put his coffin in. And he visited a few weeks later, paying his respects to his mate. And because poppy seeds had come to the surface while they were digging the hole to bury him, the poppies had sprouted and grown. And it was a May afternoon, late spring, and it was a warm day, and the poppies were just drifting in the wind. And this moved McRae very deeply. And he went back to his dressing station and sat down on the back of his ambulance. And in 15 minutes or 20 minutes, he wrote 15 famous lines of poetry. He wrote the poem In Flanders Fields. That went viral. It was spotted by a woman in New York, this poem, in 1918, on the 8th of November 1918, 3 days before the end of the war. And she showed it. She was at a teacher's conference. She showed it to all her friends, and they were all equally moved by it. Her name was Moina Bell Michael. And she said to all her friends, "Why don't we wear a poppy to remember our dead by in return for a donation?" And she went to the nearest store, bought some poppies, some silk poppies, and did exactly that. And on the 8th of November 1918, that's the first time we know that poppies have been worn to remember our loved ones by in return for a donation. And then, cutting a long story short, a French socialite who was worried about the fate of orphans and widows saw Moina Bell Michael's work, and then decided that to help orphans and widows work, she'd make poppies and go around the Commonwealth, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, India, Canada, selling this idea. She came here to the UK in 1921 and sat with General Haig, who then ordered 9 million poppies for the first Armistice Day on the 11th of November 1921. They all sold out, and the rest, as they say, is history. We've been carrying on with that fantastic tradition ever since, and we've been making poppies in Richmond at the Poppy Factory for over 100 years now.
And when people come to the Poppy Factory, because you can come and you can have a tour and you can be hosted by your lovely self, what do you hope people will take away when they come to the Poppy Factory?
It's lovely hosting people at that Poppy Factory. We have we shut down in December 2019, not knowing COVID was coming, to have a £4 million refurb. We've now got a fantastic museum full of wonderful knickknacks connected with the poppy and the poppy factory, which people can have a look at. They'll listen to me chat to them about that history in more detail. I'll tell them much more about John McRae, about Moina Bell Michael, about Anna Guérin, and about Major George Howson, who set up the factory, and how, if their paths didn't cross, we wouldn't have this fantastic tradition today. and then they'll make... we had a new poppy this year, all paper poppy, but for another couple of years, they'll make the very familiar, what we call number one poppy. They'll have a go at making that. They'll have a go at making wreaths. And then we'll talk to them about our royal wreath makers and the special wreaths, like the one at the Tomb of the Unknown Warrior. So many people come to the Poppy Factory. They've worn poppies all their lives. They're in their 60s, their 70s, their 80s, and they don't know the story of how it came to be. And so many people come up to me and my fellow hosts afterwards and say, "Gosh, that was so interesting. We didn't know that story." They hand over their donation every year. They wear their poppy, but they don't really know how it came to pass. So that's a really bit of interesting bit of history to pass on to people. And more importantly, around about Remembrance time, October, November, December time, we have a lot of schools coming to the Poppy Factory, because it's really important this tradition gets handed down to the next generations. So we have school kids there, and they learn the history of the poppy as well.
That's David Beaumont from the Poppy Factory in Richmond. And if you'd like to find out more about the work done at the factory, just go to poppyfactory.org. My name's Lucy Mayer, and I've been reporting for Radio Jackie.